The so-called Bridgegate scandal has exposed possible political corruption in Governor Christie's office and has triggered several investigations. But without subpoenas from the New Jersey legislature to demand documents indicating that a political payback scheme prompted the closure of lanes to the George Washington Bridge, the scandal may have never come to light. As Matt Katz of New Jersey Public Radio reports, that's because the Christie administration was apparently violating the state's public records law.
Chris Christie was in his first hour as governor on January 19, 2010. Less than 6 minutes into his inaugural address, he made his very first policy promise for his administration.
Today, a new era of accountability and transparency is here. Today, I will sign executive orders that will make our finances, our budgeting, and our processes more transparent for all of our citizens to see. Today, change has arrived.
They've actually been abysmal.
Jennifer Borg is the top attorney for the Bergen Record newspaper. Her grandfather was one of the founders of the paper in the 1890s, and she has worked at that newspaper for nearly 20 years.
I should be used to it by now because it's been repeated.
But never before has she been forced to fight so consistently with a governor over access to what she believes are the people's documents. She says it's not just that Christie didn't bring change. His administration has been more secretive than any other she's ever dealt with.
Is it a systemic abuse of process? Is it incompetence? Is it lack of training? Is it lack of procedures? We're not quite sure yet why it's happening, but all I can tell you is that it is happening.
And now there's evidence from the Bridgegate scandal that shows that the governor's office isn't following the transparency laws that already exist. Back in December, a Bergen Record reporter specifically asked for correspondence related to the Bridge Lane closures. An unnamed custodian of records at the governor's office rejected that request, saying no such records exist. A few weeks passed.
And then, sure enough, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I get an email from one of our reporters saying, that can't be true because I'm holding an email from David Wildstein to Michael Druniak.
It turns out, Wildstein, a bridge official who has since resigned, and Druniak, the governor's spokesman, did discuss the traffic jam scandal over email, official state email. In one, Christie's deputy chief of staff was copied, revealing that top staffers in Christie's office were involved in doing damage control after the press started asking questions. By not providing the Druniak email, the records custodian, whoever that person is, was essentially covering up, intentionally or not, the whole operation. State law says that communication between government employees with limited restrictions must be open for everyone to see. Yet, only a legally required subpoena allowed this information to see the light of day. At Christie's Marathon news conference after the Bridgegate scandal, I asked him why these emails were not released by his office. He said he takes public record requests very seriously.
If there's sometimes, I don't know the incident you're talking about, but if there's sometimes mistakes that are made or oversights, I'm sure that can happen. But no, there's no pattern or conduct of that. And it's the law. We have to comply with it, and we comply with the law as written.
At the Port Authority, which runs the George Washington Bridge, reporters tried to get emails to find out who was responsible for closing the lanes, but a 2012 appellate court decision ruled that the agency is not subject to the state's public records law. Reporters were left to seek officials' emails under the federal Freedom of Information law, but their requests, the Port Authority ruled, were overly broad. These difficulties are not restricted to New Jersey reporters. 2 years ago, Marty Shapiro, a semi-retired business consultant, was watching cable news from his condo in Weehawken, New Jersey. He saw the governor was out of state. Again.
And the first thing that came into my mind was, who's paying for that trip? Simple as that. Fair question. I'm a taxpayer in New Jersey.
So he called the governor's office to ask how much it cost for Christie to go to New Hampshire to campaign for Mitt Romney. And did taxpayers foot the bill?
How many times do you think you called the governor?
I couldn't count. I know it was over weeks and weeks and weeks.
By April 2012, Shapiro submitted a formal public records request.
Specifically, we want the number of such trips the governor has taken since entering office, and the number of days for each trip, and who accompanies him, name and title.
Please listen. He never got an answer, so he called me. Christie has traveled out of state more than 100 days since the summer of 2012. He says some of this travel is paid for by political groups, like the state Republican Party or the Republican Governors Association, which he chairs. But who paid for a trip he took last spring for the dedication of former President George W. Bush's presidential library in Texas? I knew Christie had dinner with Matt Lauer while he was down there, but maybe he was also doing government business. So I requested invoices from his travels. And after 2 months, the response I got was so heavily redacted and so unclear that I couldn't figure out how much money was spent on the trip and what cities Christie went to, let alone who paid for it. As a taxpayer, Shapiro says he's entitled to know.
What is the governor hiding in terms of travel expenses for non-New Jersey business travel? That is the issue. Full accounting. That's what he expects of employees in the state. We expect it of him and his aides.
Christie officials have refused to explain to legislators their motives behind changing civil service rules, sending public dollars to parochial institutions, and privatizing the state lottery. The governor vetoed bipartisan bills that would have increased transparency of both the Port Authority and his distribution of Sandy relief aid. Senator Loretta Weinberg, a Democrat, called a news conference after the veto of a third bill dealing with transparency.
Right now, we have approved three major bills that require transparency, all either vetoed outright or CB'd by the governor with very lame excuses.
Christie officials point toward efforts at transparency. He created a website so any member of the public can punch in a name and find the salary of any government worker. Contracts, expenditures, and revenues are all up there. But a lot of the information the public needs is just below the surface, in emails sent by public officials on the public's dime. And in New Jersey, such documents become almost impossible to get. The public entity that has oversight over these decisions is called the Government Records Council. It reviews appeals to rejected records requests. But it has never had a full complement of members during Christie's entire term. Two members are in Christie's cabinet. A third is his neighbor and campaign donor. The council almost never rules against the administration. Many advocates don't even bother appealing to the Government Records Council. Instead, like Ed Barocas of the ACLU of New Jersey, they just sue.
I'm very concerned that it's a culture where, again, the default position is keeping information confidential if there is any way to do so. And the reason why I say that it doesn't seem to be a manpower thing is that they've actually spent additional time trying to keep information confidential. That shouldn't be.
Last month, the Christie administration fired its biggest contractor responsible for getting Sandy victims back in their homes. When WNYC found out about it last week, officials acknowledged the firing, but still have not said why the company lost the job or what company has replaced it. Getting information about Sandy aid has been tough. After waiting 3 months for bid documents from private contractors, I got paperwork with many pages blacked out. Turns out, the companies get to choose what's redacted and what's not. A housing nonprofit got the very same document weeks before me. The difference? They sued. And that's what the ACLU does to get information, too. It's filed 7 lawsuits against the executive branch. And so far, it's never lost a case. For WNYC, I'm Matt Katz.
You can view the invoices and see a list of other transparency issues in the Christie administration on WNYC.org.